Philosophy.
Where we don't even talk about philosophy, and we're not even drinking.
We are rolling, and we're back. with an exclusive episode of The Conversationalist. Cheers.
Once in a life.
Cheers.
Our drinks.
We have a very special guest today who is trying to talk over me at the moment.
I'm so sorry.
What were you going to say?
I was going to... Well, first
of all... No, don't introduce yourself yet. We're going to do a whole thing about it.
Okay, good. Oh, I was just going to say you made a drink and it was really cool, impressive.
Yeah, we are drinking Old Fashions right now.
So good. And so good.
Yeah, we're in the studio.
Homemade
Old Fashions. Yeah, like...
Quality.
Were the bitters homemade? They were, like, at your bar?
Most of our bar bitters are homemade. Those were not. Those are just Angostura. Ango bitters.
What is the difference between, like, what's an Ango bitter?
Angostura bitters is just the brand, but it's, like, the staple for all bartenders. Like, those are the bitters of bartenders.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. So that's, like, what a normal lame bar would use. But you guys are like, fuck that. We're going with our own homemade
shit. We use
those
and our homemade shit. You know, it depends on the drink.
Does it depend on the person ordering it?
It could also depend. If you're a bougie person and want bougie bitters, we're going to give you bougie bitters.
Do you size people up when they come in? Are you like,
oh, I sometimes do.
Fucking narc won't know the difference. I'm not wasting our good
sometimes
shit.
Sometimes if I accidentally do something wrong, I'm like, they won't notice.
They're not going to notice.
They never do.
Has anyone ever called you out on that?
No, in fact, I made a pretty not quality Old Fashioned once, and I knew it, but I was like kind of a new bartender, and the dude told me it was the best Old Fashioned he had. So at this point in my life,
there's no fucking like bar. It's just some people like them, some people don't.
Exactly. But I do want to say we are a quality bar. Like, we do have really
let's give
known
a
bartender. Like, they know their stuff.
Award winning or like.
Oh, gonna be award winning. We have one in competition right now. And
really?
He's like moved on to like level and level and level. Yeah.
Really?
So we're doing great.
Okay. Explain how that works though. Like, does he compete? Is it like a county thing? Like, how does that work? Is it a bar association thing?
I think it's America. Yeah. It could also just be Texas. I could be wrong. You know what? I don't know. It's Garrison Brothers. They're doing this thing.
Okay.
And they are a whiskey. Yeah. And they have a competition going on. And so people.
And that's a national brand.
National. Well, then there we go. It's national. Okay.
Okay.
Garrison Brothers. And they have, you know, people who enter across. You have to be a bartender.
Yeah.
And you have to have the drink that you have to make a cocktail with
one
of their. You have to create a cocktail from nothing with one of their whiskeys.
Interesting.
And then you have to have it on your menu. And that's the first, you know, the first level. And the second level is someone comes without you knowing them coming and they order the drink and they judge you based off of like how you explain the drink to them, how the drink tastes. And then
Garrison Brothers will send someone to your bar to order the drink. You won't know that they're interesting.
Uh-huh. So he passed that level.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. And then the next level, which he's in right now, and that, you know, obviously it goes down in people. I don't know the ratios, but he's in the level where he's gonna have to batch his cocktail like for a bunch of like a
testers.
Big amount testers and stuff.
Yeah.
And have it in a panel of judge, and then from that it's gonna narrow down bless you.
I just sneezed, y'all.
No way.
Yeah, way.
The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon.
Amen. Happy Easter. So
Easter exclusive. Okay. And then after that, there's going to be super few amount of people, and they're going to give them a bunch of random ingredients where they have to make a cocktail on the spot.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And then whoever wins that wins, like, a bunch of money and, like, Garrison Brothers stuff and, you know, all the things. World-renowned.
World-renowned. How much money?
I think it was, like,
$10,000. Oh, shit.
No, I know.
We love him. 10 G's, man?
We told him, he was like, when you win, you need to split it with us because we put your cocktail, which was really good, on the menu.
What is his cocktail?
It's called the Palo Santo.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Is he Spanish?
No.
Seems a bit racist then, but let's hear it.
It's got, so it's really good. It's got, you know, the Garrison Brothers whiskey, obviously, 2 ounces. I'm not going to say the specifics, just, you know, but you can get the general idea. So you've got Garrison Brothers whiskey, you've got grapefruit, you've got simple syrup, so like a sweet kind of thing with like the citrus of the grapefruit, but you also got, I can't remember if it's lime or lemon. It's lime. You've got lime juice.
Okay.
You've got dry Curacao.
Sounds like a julep.
It's almost a julep, almost a margarita, kind of a crossover.
Okay.
But you pour over a big fat ice cube, you get sage. Oh, you just missed that step. You muddle sage into it.
Oh.
And then you get sage, you soak it in Everclear and set it on fire.
What the fuck?
It's really fun.
Yo, this guy better fucking win.
Oh, I know.
That sounds badass.
I'm banking on it.
What's the name of your bar again?
It's 1791.
College Station, Texas, right?
Yes.
For all the listeners out there, I'm already slurring words. What the shit?
Oh, no.
For all the listeners out there, 1791, College Station, Texas.
It is a really classy bar.
Ask for the Santo Palo.
Palo Santo.
The Palo Santo.
The Santo Palo.
Flip that shit. So today we are joined by the one and only Rebecca Payne.
Hello.
Currently attending the University of Texas A&M.
Yes, sir.
Aggie for life?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Actually, I have there
no
we
idea.
Go.
If my college dropout, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Only God knows. Future will.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us some of your what makes Rebecca tick. Why is it worth hearing your voice on this podcast?
Dude, well, first of all, I would like to address that question. It's not. but about me, I am currently living at home with James because, you know, coronavirus.
Quarantine.
We're loving that.
Hey, we're making homemade, you know.
True.
What are these called again? Old fashions. Fuck me. We're making old fashions. Homemade old fashions. We're having a good time.
I would just like to say, James has never made one before and he made me one. And it's killer. Like,
yeah, I have
a bartender right here. Like, well, what a
listen,
man.
Listen. It wasn't that good. But I love old fashions.
Yeah.
I always order old fashions. So I kind of get the idea behind them. Yeah. I never made one, though. She taught me today, literally 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, and you carried it out the second afterwards.
It was so exhilarating, I almost passed out.
He had to sit down.
Sit down. My ear started twitching. Never happened before. But
I should have gotten a video.
Should have gotten it on video.
So many things.
Thank God we didn't get on video. But okay, so you go to Texas A&M.
I do.
I know you were majoring initially in early childhood education.
Yeah. Wow, and good memory. Then,
yeah, thank you. Done my
I
research.
I almost forget that sometimes.
And now you're a communications major.
Yes.
Specifically, have you?
There's no specific. I'm majoring in communications, minoring in psychology.
Interesting.
And with both of those, there's absolutely no specifics.
They're both super vague.
So vague.
Yeah.
I'm really just going for the degree. I plan on doing after that, after I finish college, we're going to stop. Okay. We're going to go travel the world, but get paid to do it. So get this.
Okay.
Either, you know, flight attendant, bartender on a cruise ship,
you
know, something kind of fun where I can travel and still get money.
Yes.
Once I get that itch out of me, then we can settle down.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So scratching that itch.
Yeah.
What makes you want to travel? Because you grew up in a military family.
Right.
You guys traveled a lot.
I think that's part of it. I'm used to traveling.
So you don't like to be stagnant.
I don't. Which is why this quarantine thing is killing me. Which is also why I'm in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Because being in Bryan for so long with nothing to do. And so now I'm in San Antonio. And then once I get tired of this, I'm going to go back to Bryan.
Yeah.
I'm just going back and forth. I can't. Like, I don't.
So we're definitely related. Dang it. I accidentally lost it.
I
lost my smoke halfway through. Well,
it's
you know
on
what?
Top of the car.
It's okay.
It's right here, actually.
But yeah, so I'm kind of the same way. I hate staying in one place. It's awful.
Yeah.
Even when you're doing great things too.
Yeah. Well, like you've traveled really a lot.
I love traveling. Traveling is amazing.
Is there any place, any country, many countries I'm sure that you haven't been to, but any ones that you haven't been to that you really are dying to go to?
South America in general.
I didn't know you've never been there.
No, I've never been to South America.
I haven't either, so I don't know why I'm like shocked.
What? You haven't been
to
South America?
Does that count?
Guatemala? That's Central America.
Okay. No,
but still badass.
Pretty cool.
Still badass. I would love to go into the Amazon, like on a trek.
Yes.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Argentina, I would love to stay at like a winery.
Have you ever go to Australia?
Would I or have I?
Would you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Those fuckers are crazy.
See, I think it's fun, but you see all the things about the animals. Like,
yeah.
No, that's scary.
The super poisonous shit?
Yeah. The giant, weird, morphed, not okay animals.
No, I feel like that adds an element of curiosity to your life. Like, every time you step outside, you could get killed by a fucking crab. That is super poisonous.
But that's so sad. You go, you know, your headstone died by crab.
Dad died by poison crab.
Poison crab.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's just
no,
pretty
but
depressing.
The thing is, though, it makes you appreciate that day. You know, I didn't get killed by a fucking lobster.
Yeah. But you could appreciate that today. You'd be like, wow, you know, these mutant lobsters didn't cross over the sea to kill me today.
That is true. It's just a bit far removed. You know, like we have it pretty easy. I mean, think about it like this: we're going through this quarantine, right? Which is basically like, hey, guys, stay home and watch TV. and we're like, ah, fuck! We're losing our minds. Yeah, yeah.
I went on a walk today and I saw an old man. We had like a 2-minute conversation. It was like the highlight of my week. I was like, wow, I talked to someone today.
Wait, which old man was it?
It was just a really sweet old man. He was walking really slow and he was admiring the flowers.
Admiring the flowers?
Yeah, he would stop. Yeah. He was in front of me and I was like, I'm just going to like slow down because I don't want to like awkwardly pass him. But he was just walking so slow. So it's like, I'm going to pass him. And when I was passing him, he was like just stopping looking. And I was like, you know, how you doing? He's like, good. How are you doing?
Yeah.
I was like, good. He's like, I'm just admiring these flowers. And we had a 2-minute conversation about that. And then I went on with my day and it was really good.
Okay, so this is super weird, but I had a kind of a cathartic experience today with flowers.
Oh.
So I work at like this like facility, you know, like it's a facility.
Yeah.
It's literally a data processing plant. Mm-hmm. So think of the most dry, plastic, corporatized aspect of the world you can possibly think of.
And a little more boring to
and
it.
And that is, yeah, times that by boring, and that's what you got. But outside, they have, like, this little bed of roses.
Oh,
and
that.
They're so beautiful. Like, and I kind of stopped today. I was like, those are fucking cool.
Admiring the flowers.
Some dope so shit good. Right there.
Another reason why I love traveling. Because, you know, when you stay in one place, you get used to your surroundings. You get used to what you're seeing. When you travel, you, like, get out of...
You get to see what... Even if you've seen it, like, to see...
It's just new eyes.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, because the people there, they're like, oh, this is the same stuff. But you're like, whoa, this is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. When Johnny and I were driving out to Virginia a few years ago, you have to... So, from Kansas City to Virginia... You have to go through the Blue Ridge Mountains and the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, they're not even the biggest mountains in America. Like, they're pretty average mountains. But, like, coming from the Kansas City area, which is, like...
Nothing.
A hill is considered a mountain. Like, it's not any... Like, driving through that in the convertible, top down, looking at the stars.
So good.
Jamming out to music. It's just an experience that, like, you'll never... You just have to experience it. Yeah. You have to be there to do... just incredible. Absolutely
that convertible
incredible.
Was... Great.
I know. I really wish Johnny still had money. Man. That would be...
Wish I still had money. Wish any of us... You're getting lots of money now.
I am.
You're practically rich.
I
And you give me some of your money.
You know what? Maybe if you play your cards right, Rebecca.
I made you an old fashioned.
You did? Oh, shit. Okay, yeah. I can... So this is the thing, though, guys. Listen, you know, in my newfound wealth, I'm trying not to lose the sense of where I came from, you know?
Understandable.
And where I came from the last 2 years has been the
broke
grindstone,
as heck.
Man. It's been broke as fuck. It's been just, it's been, you know, but I actually kind of like that.
You like being broke.
Not being broke, but like really busting ass and barely making it.
Getting
like
by.
It puts you in a kind of desperate position.
Yeah, in a work mindset instead of just kind of like lollygagging, staying wherever you are.
Yeah, like today I was like, I was on 10 hours today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I could leave right now. I don't need to stay. And with the amount of money I'm making per hour,
mm-hmm.
if I stay 2 extra hours, that is money that a month ago I would have died for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm gonna stay. But so switching gears, Rebecca, so we've established who you are, where you're from, your expertise in the art of cocktails.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're
as
welcome.
Some would say, no, I wouldn't even say that. I'm not there yet. But mixology is the goal.
Mixology is the
I'm
goal.
I'm a mixologist, I guess.
So would you ever actually want to like how do I say this without sounding like...
Just say it. Literally just say it.
Well, like, you're going to school for a communications degree, mm-hmm. minor in psychology, but you clearly love bartending.
Yeah.
Would you ever do it as a career? So not like a, I gotta scratch this itch and be a bartender on a cruise. Like, would you ever be like, I'm gonna move to New York and become a top-tier bartender?
That is a great question. Let me take a moment to answer.
Okay.
So when I first think about, you know, the possibility of that, I'm super excited. I'm like, I would love that. Like, to go to New York and be a bartender. That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
But, like, over most jobs that I can think of, any jobs in communication or psychology, I'm just like, like, they're great and I could do good things, but I don't have a passion for it. But at the same time, if I did decide, oh, I'm going to, you know, pursue bartending as a career, I don't want it to, like, ruin my passion for bartending. I don't want to be like, yes. This is a job and I have to work for this. And now yeah. I'm not as excited mm-hmm. about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I do have like a job where I'm like, okay, I can like use my skills in this communication area because I have communication yeah. skills, I can apply that. And then on the side, still have this thing that I'm super passionate about.
Yeah, where you don't need that. It, but you're doing it out of just pure love.
Exactly.
Of the craft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I see where you're going there.
And you had a similar experience with your driving thing. Like, you love your car, but you're like...
I love my car. So, a little context mm-hmm. for people who don't get
yes,
that.
Yes, sorry.
But, so I'm in school full-time. I'm in the Air Force Reserves currently. Mm-hmm. Actually not soon, no longer because of the scholarship.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Crazy. I'm so proud of you.
But so I was in school full time. So my job was door dashing and Uber. Mm-hmm. And the idea there was like, I love being in my car. I love driving and stuff. So why not make money while I do it? I don't know what it did, but it fucking ruined it. Like, I was like, I hate being in my car. I couldn't stand being in my car.
It was so sad because it was legitimately one of the things that you loved so much.
I would literally come out into my car and watch videos on stuff and read and just sit in my car. It's like my little cocoon of peace from all of you.
I feel like you've kind of... Wow. Okay, that's fine.
I've kind of what?
I feel like you've kind of gotten that love back a little bit as you've taken on this other job and kind of, you know... put to the side.
Yeah. I have resumed being a bum in my car. So.
Yeah.
Out of love, not desperation. So, yeah. So, switching gears here. We touched on quarantine a little bit. What is your, what's going on in your head right now, man?
As far as quarantine?
As far as coronavirus and quarantine and all that shit.
I would like to just say that I went to the store today. And I had to put a mask on, which was a new experience for me.
Oh.
But I looked really good because it brings out my eyes. So I was a fan. And then I was thinking, why don't we all wear masks all the time? It should be a new fashion trend. But then I was thinking, you'd get a bad suntan from it.
You would get a weird-ass suntan.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are my thoughts.
Those are your general thoughts? Okay.
Today, those were my thoughts. I obviously have deeper, more... profound thoughts.
Yeah.
I actually don't know if I do.
Well,
but you know, there's more thoughts than just that.
Yes.
But just coming to mind from today's experience, that's where we're at.
Yeah. And by the way, our hearts and prayers go out to all of those who have been affected negatively by the coronavirus. I know some people personally who have.
Yeah.
Not themselves succumbing to it, but like uncles, aunts, mm-hmm. grandparents.
Kids even.
And it's rough. And all of those who are going out to New York right now, who answered the call on the front line to go serve your country. That's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You literally went out and served your country. Thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate it. That being said, fuck this quarantine. I am so sick of it. I am literally... Today I was driving home from work because I'm an essential worker, quote unquote.
Yeah,
you know?
So you... Another thing. I lost my job.
Yeah.
That sucks. But you still have your job.
I still have my job because it's considered essential mm-hmm. and... I was driving home and I was like, I would die to just go to a bar right now.
Right.
I want to go to a bar so bad. I haven't been to a bar in so long, what it feels like so long. And I, you know, you can't.
You can't.
But no, I did come home and Rebecca made me a
homemade bar, you know. Every day there's, almost every day, there's always something new that I think like, oh, Corona affected this.
Yeah.
Like the other day I was like, oh, you know, New York. I was like, people who moved to New York and are like working part-time jobs and trying to become actors, actresses, being in musicals and stuff. I'm like, they can't do that anymore,
which I never
thought of. Like, there's so many little things that you don't think about that it affects so many people.
It's incredible.
I was like, obviously, like, it affects bartenders and restaurants. I was like, I'm being affected. So I was like, that sucks, poor bartenders. But like, there's just so many more and more, and the more you think about it.
Yeah.
Everything's affected.
Now, you lost your job,
but
you did not file for unemployment.
I did not.
Why didn't you do that?
Because I have a home I can live in, so I don't have to, buy groceries by myself. I don't have to, you know, I'll do all this stuff. So, like, filing for unemployment, I feel like, would take the money away from the people who actually really do need it, who actually are having to, like, struggle to get by. So, like, I have some friends who, you know, lost their job, and they are living on their own, like, no family support, nothing. There's just them. And so, like, they need that money, like, every week or something.
Yeah, I think I think they bumped it up to like 600 a week.
Yeah, I have a friend who's getting 600 a week from unemployment, which is so good. Because like we used to make more than that, you know?
Yeah.
And so just the fact that out of respect for them, I'm not going to like take advantage of this when I actually don't need it.
Yeah.
Would it be nice? Very much. I have no income right now and I can't go out to eat, but I don't need to because I have groceries at home.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just kind of.
Yeah. And that very noble, by the way.
Thank you.
Very noble. We all appreciate it. Thank you so much. La, da, 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 da. So what are your thoughts then on like, okay, so you have the coronavirus. We all know the severity of the coronavirus, but that's the point. We don't all know that.
Yeah. I was going to say some people think it's fake. I was just talking to a homeless person the other day.
Oh, homie, your community is about to get fucked by this thing.
That sucks.
That's sad.
But he didn't think it was real. Like I was just like, hey, you know, what's going on? We got in this conversation. And eventually he brought it up, the coronavirus, and I was like, yeah, like, this is so bad. I was like, you know, I asked him, like, he was like, yeah, pray for health, but, like, I don't think this coronavirus is even real. Like, I think they're just making it up. And I was like, oh, really? Like, that's what you that's what you think? You're sure about that?
Businesses are choosing to lose billions of dollars?
People you know are getting sick and dying, and you think it's fake?
Oh, good for you, bud.
Yeah, so there are, and, you know, it ranges from that to people, like, freaking out and staying in their houses hoarding toilet paper.
Yeah.
You know, there's the range, but, like, it falls somewhere in between where it is an issue, and it's a big thing, and it's scary, and you need to, like, respect the rules that people are putting out for your safety.
Exactly. Exactly. I listened to an excellent sermon the other day. In the spirit of Holy Week and Easter and all that good stuff. And the speaker said something pretty interesting. He was talking about Saint Joseph, right? So the foster father of Jesus Christ, not to get too religious on this podcast, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I'm listening.
But Joseph is kind of like the epicenter of obedience in Christendom. Like, if you want an example of obedience, you go to Joseph. He answered... Mm-hmm. He obeyed God by raising, you know,
and
Jesus,
despite all these things against
fleeing
him.
Into Egypt, that stuff. And the question that the speaker posed was, would Saint Joseph abide by the rules that the government is asking us to do? And it's like, absolutely,
yes.
He would.
Yeah.
If there's no moral implication for doing it, then you need to do it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see, like, this one specific church comes to mind, but, like, on the news, I don't know the name of it, but, like, this dude who's like, oh, we're not going to close the church, and people are attending, and that makes me so mad, because I realize where you're coming from, sir, where, like, yes, you do want to, like, you know, the church doesn't die, but the church is not the building, the church is not you attending every Sunday, the church is you practicing your faith, so when you remain open, not only, like, when the government says not to, but, like, when people's health and lives are on the line, that is giving... such a bad name to, you know,
to Christianity. And not only that, like, I mean, let's be honest. Whose wallet is getting hit the most if he closes his church?
That's true. Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it really, you know, in times of crisis, it really does bring out who a person is.
Yeah.
You know? You want to know someone about... You want to know who someone is, you make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, that's so true.
True colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you were, we were talking about this right before we did this pod. So you were on another podcast.
Oh, this pod? This pod. That hurts.
In the community, the podcasting community, we call it pod
for
short. Oh,
you would consider yourself a member of podcasting community.
This is a top 3,000 podcast on iTunes. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. We have a vast listening base going, ranging from Texas to Kansas.
Your friend up in Oregon.
To New Jersey. Greg.
New Jersey, my bad.
Greg. Greg is not
Shout
a friend
out
anymore.
To Greg. Oh.
He's given us some really harsh reviews. whatever's going on in your life, Greg, fuck off, you know?
No, that's not nice.
No, Greg said it's okay.
Let's skip that. What were you gonna say?
So we were talking about another podcast that you were on. What is the name of that podcast?
Okay, so it's Created Curious.
Okay.
Bailey Mullins is the one who, so he has been doing podcasts for years.
Years.
He started doing Mindless Millennials was like his first one. Then he did Bible Breakfast.
Yeah.
Now he's doing Created Curious. And he just kind of interviews. The main thing that he does is he takes people in and interviews them.
Yeah.
On, you know, their specialty or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did a podcast the other day. We were just like hanging out. I had to do a school project actually, and I needed to do a podcast. So I was like, I know someone who does a podcast.
Boom, there we go.
Boom, Bailey. So we did.
Kind of bummed you didn't come to me first. But
you were in San Antonio and I was in Bryan. That was
we'll
another.
We'll get past that. We'll get past that.
You were hours away. Anyways.
And let's be honest, if you had texted me, I don't know when I would have responded.
If you would have responded. I could pull up my phone right now. Those last few messages I sent you, never responded to. So I don't want to hear it, James.
If she's not home, I'll respond to her. But you're home. So there we go.
Anyways. So yeah, after I did my actual project podcasting that we need to do, he's like, do you want to do another one? And I'd be like, I don't know what we were going to do it on. And he's like, nah, it doesn't matter. Let's just start it. And I was like, okay.
There we go.
So we did it. And it was like an hour long, which is pretty long.
That's a long pod. Yeah. Yep.
But it was, I mean, I had fun doing it. So whether or not people listen to it, I don't really care because it was actually enjoyable for me. Just like right now, like, I don't know if anyone's listening to this. Sorry, James.
Hey, listen.
Having fun.
We're having fun. And on top of that, I don't know if you saw the last episode, but
I did not.
We got 9 fucking views. So I'm not trying to brag, but we're going for double digits.
You're close. You're so close. With me on it, maybe you'll get it.
You know what? We might.
I'm just saying, no biggie, but mine had 23 views with Bailey, so that's double digits right there.
No way. No way.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. We're trying to catch.
And we don't want to go home. We've been home for too long.
We've been home for way too long. Oh, my gosh. So the reason I asked about the podcast that you were on, so podcasts have kind of exploded. Everyone has a podcast.
I was listening to some on the drive down here to San Antonio.
Yeah, I listen to podcasts every day. I have a podcast.
You have a podcast.
I have a podcast.
I have a podcast.
What's it called? It's called The Conversationalist.
That sounds pretty cool.
It's fucking dope, dude. Like, nice. You would fucking love it.
Oh my gosh, would I?
Oh my god, yeah.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay. So, they've kind of exploded. What do you think podcasts, what is their place in culture relative to established modems of creativity like, art, writing, music, books, you know, stuff like that? Do podcasts fit into that medium or have they kind of established themselves as their own entity?
So I have a question. Are you asking... because I don't know big words. Are you asking, are they, like, on the same level? Or are you asking, like, can they, like, reach each specific?
That's a great distinction. So, I'm asking, it's a broader question than that. You have these institutionalized forms of creativity that...
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
...are held in not only an educational way, but also we do idolize them. Right. Mm-hmm. You look at something like the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Not only can you learn about it educationally, but it's a painting that's worth millions of dollars.
Right.
Podcasts have kind of exploded. And essentially what they are conversations, interviews, you know, stuff like that. And they
informational
can educate
things. Yeah.
Informational things. What is their place in regards to art, in regards to creativity?
I honestly... Obviously, it depends on the podcast. Who's behind it.
Just like it depends on the book.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like it depends on the art piece. You know, if the art piece from a 5-year-old is not going to be the same as the Mona Lisa.
True.
Sometimes it's going to be better. No, I'm just kidding.
It's special.
It's special in its own way. And podcasts are the same way. but I do think it can be, like, used in the same way. Like, my college has its own class, like, for podcasts. So it is, like, you know... Institutions are implementing more ways to include podcasting in their careers.
They're culturally significant.
Right. So it is becoming a big thing and people are latching onto that idea is the important thing is that we are deciding to move forward with this. So it does have a place in our society.
Yeah.
But and so, you know, it can be jobs, but it could also just be, you know, people having fun for those who choose to have the podcast. Like, you can pursue it as a career. You can pursue it as just a way to pass the time.
Yeah.
Just like art, you know, just like, so I think it's the same, it's going to be on the same level. It's like the difference between like a hobby and a career. Mm-hmm. Everything has that, you know, whether you want to do dance for fun or you want to do dance for real, whether you want to do music just because you like to play the guitar or you want to become a musician, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be the same thing.
So that was a beautiful segue into my next question, which we kind of touched on earlier when we were talking about your educational aspirations.
Oh dear.
And how you wanted to, you know, be a bum in New York, even though you have a degree. When one of the things is that's interesting about our society is that most universities will offer a they offer everything, right? Mm-hmm. They offer
everything.
But if you look at like some of the most popular degrees, they're mostly career-oriented degrees.
Yeah.
So you go to school for business management in order to get a job, in order to learn that craft and make money off of it, and to profit off of it. And one of the things that has kind of gone by the wayside is going to school for learning, like going to school for just to learn for the sake of learning.
Yeah.
So something like liberal arts, right?
Right.
Even though even that is now pushed towards the more money making aspect in the sense of like, oh, if you're going to get a liberal arts degree, you need to specialize in something so you can become a professor, then you need a tenure, all that stuff.
Yeah.
However, where is the balance in your eyes between the career money-making degree versus the learning for the sake of learning degree?
Yeah, that great question. Wow. Because it does depend on the, you know, the student. It's like this, it really is the student versus the institution.
Yeah.
Because the student wants to go for the learning. Most students are going to want to go for the learning. But in reality, it's only like those few specific random successes that make it in their way of deciding to go just for the learning instead of the career, which is why institutions are like, okay, well, let's build it so that you can still be successful if you don't happen to be a prodigy, you know? And I don't know exactly how that plays out in as far as, what was your question?
What is your view on like the balance between those two aspects? Like, because for instance, I'm a philosophy major, which is purely a degree for the sake of learning.
Yeah.
You really won't do much.
You can't
much.
Do anything with that.
Yeah, like you can actually go down historically as relevant, but again, you kind of have to be a prodigy. You kind of have to be ahead of your time, above your peers in that regard. Okay. However, in the moment, you're not going to really make money off of philosophy.
Right.
Now, I'm in a very blessed position where I don't need a degree to make money because I already know what my career is going to be and it'll already pay. And I don't need a specific degree for that career. However, what is the balance between an individual who goes for something like philosophy and statistically speaking, liberal arts majors, philosophy majors, those individuals who go because they really do love the subject material that they're learning. Mm-hmm. It's not about a baseline paycheck.
Right.
Are generally happier during school.
They understandably so.
Lower rates of anxiety, lower rates of depression, even higher GPAs.
Because they're there because they want to be there. They're not like...
Exactly.
They don't feel all the pressures. They don't feel all the...
So how do you balance that to the aspect of the individual who may love those things? He may love the liberal arts, but in his mind is like, or her mind is like... I'm not going to get that because I need to be able to provide for a family, which is a very legitimate reason. And they go into some business aspect that they don't necessarily love and they have to just get through it. And then they go into a job that they don't necessarily love, but they have to provide. And so how do you balance that in the society that we currently live in?
Yeah.
And I know it's an impossible question.
I was going to say,
answer.
I haven't, you know, spent a whole lot of time thoughts, research on this question.
Absolutely.
It is a big deal.
But what are your general thoughts on that?
So I would say, like, if like putting myself in that position, because I partially am, you know, the balance, and obviously this isn't going to be the formula for success, the formula for happiness. But
We've found the formula for happiness.
Guys, listen, this is what you need to
write it down. Take some fucking notes.
But you do have to balance. You can't go all for just the
mechanical engineering.
Right. You can't go all that and do nothing else. You're going to die. I mean, there's people who have that in them.
Yes.
But I'm talking majority of people.
Yeah.
You also can't go all just for fun classes if you have nothing to back that up to push you on, because then you won't be able to pay for classes. It's like literally not possible, you know?
Yeah.
So the balance, I think, lies... You take, you know, some classes for your degree, and degrees often do allow for some like extra classes that you want to take. It's like they'll have like degree, like, you know, communication degrees, business degrees. They'll say electives, you know, and you have to fill a certain of those. So they're trying to make you take classes that you're interested
in. To pique your interest.
To actually keep you engaged, to keep you wanting to go. So I think that's where the balance is you have to make sure that you are balancing that. So you're taking some classes that you're interested in instead of just focusing on, oh, the hard work, oh, the, you know, all the classes that are going to make you the money. Right.
Yeah. And again, beautiful segue into the next question and possibly the final question. Okay. We'll see how we're doing. Uh-huh. We'll see how we're doing. If we want to float some other shit out there, we'll float some other shit. We'll float that shit right down the river.
Like a cork in a bottle that's been broken up. Let's keep going.
I had a very vivid image in my mind because we had been discussing shit.
Oh,
and then a cork. No. Use your imagination. Wherever that goes, that's what I was thinking.
Can we fast forward?
It was disturbing. The individual
in this internet. Can you edit these things?
You know what? Actually, the conversationalists take much pride in the fact that we do not edit these podcasts.
Oh.
Whatever we say goes.
If I leave the car right now,
that would be a bummer for me. But we wouldn't edit it. But the next question, kind of segueing from the career field conversation, is money and happiness.
Good question.
Yeah, and it's a kind of the age old question.
Yeah,
this has been asked a million
times. Right.
But what are your ideas of money versus happiness?
So I think when you put all your desires into like things that money will bring you, obviously you're going to have issues. Money does not bring happiness. Everyone knows that now.
Yeah.
But still people seek it out. Like despite knowing that, you're just like, well, if I had this, but statistically, and I don't even know what I was reading. It was one of my communication classes. You know, we're talking about money. And people who actually do have more money, So people who have a certain income tend to think that if they double their income, they'll be happy. But those people at that doubled income think, oh, if I double my income, then I'll be happy. So it's just like people just think they need more and more money to be happy. And so
it's a vicious cycle.
It is. You'll never
greed.
Actually get there. Yeah. Being content where you're at is what you need to do. Like, sure, money can buy things that'll bring you like temporary satisfaction. But like true happiness is like just being content with where you're at. And
so how do you, because I totally agree, by the way.
Yeah.
I am a big believer in the fact that money accentuates who you are already.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a happy and good person and you have a little money and then you have a lot of money, it will just accentuate that happiness and that goodness. If you are a terrible person and you have a little money,
it's not going to make you a better person.
A lot of money will just make you, it'll just accentuate that terribleness. However, the contentment aspect is a tricky one because you're right. You have to be content with where you are, but you have to maintain some element of drive. You know, you have to like there's that contentment, but you need to be unsettled a little bit in order to keep progressing towards that goal, which that goal is different for everyone.
Yes.
So what's that? That's another balance that how would you go into that?
Wow. I have no idea.
It's fascinating.
It is. It's hard. Because even like thinking about our situations, like where we are at with money, I feel like I'm pretty content and I'm making no money right now. You know? So like when your ideas of success and happiness are placed purely on the money, you're never going to be content. You're never going to, like, you'll strive for nothing. But like when it's like placed in like other things, but like money can, you know, add to it almost. Yeah. Then that's where you're gonna, that's where you want to be, ideally.
Yeah. And I think the distinction is content versus comfort. Like you don't want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Like you want to be uncomfortable to a certain degree. So you can
If you're striving for more money for comfort, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah. You'll never be comfortable. Because you can always be more comfortable.
Right.
You know, like you can always be more, so you'll always need more.
Exactly. Money. There's always going to be. Yeah.
Well said. So, it's been fun.
It's been real.
It's been a really
good time. We finished our drinks already. I actually finished mine a while ago, and I'm ready for...
I really want another one.
Yeah.
So, we're going to end this pod for the drinks. Do you have any last things to say to the listeners who possibly are going through something similar to... they are going through something similar to us in the quarantine and life in general?
Absolutely. I have so many things to say to you. I could talk to you all day. I haven't talked to anyone. So I'm just kidding. To those people listening, those few, hi, I love you. I know every single one of you, I'm sure.
Not Greg. Greg? No. No one knows Greg.
I'm sure I would love him if I got to know him. Anyways, but I do want to just say thanks to you, James, for letting me be on your podcast.
Absolutely.
It was very last minute.
Very spur
super.
Of the
we were actually just drinking. He was like, "You want to be on my podcast?" And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Let's start it." And I was like, "Okay." But yeah, appreciate that. It's been a fun time. Yeah, great podcast. This episode, I can't speak for the other episodes. I haven't been on them.
But she has listened to every single one, right? right? Yeah.
Jesus says not to lie. but yeah, thanks all who decide to listen. Thanks all who decide not to. Like, live your best life. You do you, boo. That's what I say to James a lot. And he's doing great. So I think that's some good advice.
You do say that a lot.
Yeah.
And before we sign out, I just want to say to all the listeners out there, stay safe. Stay at home. Have a few drinks. Make some old fashions.
Yeah. If you need the recipe, you know, just ask James because he knows how to make them
I do. I'm an expert now. Live, laugh, love, guys. Live, laugh, love.
Peace.
All right. Peace. This has been The Conversationalist.
Whoop, whoop.
Bye.